It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I'm Megan Todd.
Aha. You got a little surprise there, everybody. Megan is our other member of our staff, who you will see when you first walk in the door of the office, which more of you should be doing, by the way, as long as we can. But anyway, Megan's been doing some research. She has been on the show before. Many of you probably recognize her voice, and a lot of you will recognize her voice just from having met her, too. But she's been doing some research on insurance, which is a topic that is really hot right now in the political scene and elsewhere.
More specifically, health insurance.
Health insurance, right. And it's really big right now because of the proposals from the supposedly incoming people versus the other. But it's also something nobody likes to talk about, so I brought her in to talk about it so I didn't have to do it. How's that?
Seems like a good plan to me.
Hey, good to be the king or even the queen or the knight, whatever. Eh?
Okay, moving on.
I'm the jack. You know, the jack of all trades. It's important to know in our business. You have to know a little about a lot and a lot about a little. And health insurance is not one of my know a lot about a little things.
No, nor is it mine. And in fact, benefits like that of all kinds are kind of, they're in our periphery, but they're not a core thing that we do, because so many people currently do get it through their employer.
Exactly.
It's not something that comes up in every meeting.
Right. So we can do things like estimate the tax impact of doing it that way or a different way and things like that. But as far as actually being very knowledgeable in it, we know all the fundamentals, but not much of the details. So I'm going to hope that Megan will talk to a lot of you who are not covered in the workplace and maybe give you some hints how to handle this very necessary item.
I'll do my best.
Okay, good. This week, well, first off, welcome back to all the regulars. We, of course, you're there, and we know that, so that's why we come in here and do this. But if you're new to the show and just caught it because you're driving by, that's fine. And if you were told about it, that's also fine, whatever it takes to get more people in. But see if you can listen for the whole hour, because I promise you very little in life, but I will promise you this. You'll learn something. Useful, useless, might depend on you, but you'll learn something, because that's what we do here. Anyway, we will have, as usual, our trivia question presented after the first break, and then we're going to talk about the rather incredible market, because the bull is back.
Yes and no.
Well, yes and yes, actually. In pure definition, is it a bull market? Yes.
Oh, yeah. But it was interesting week, yeah.
Yeah, when you see, actually, I wrote it down for you. If COVID-19 is driving this market, what do you suppose its destination is?
I don't know.
I don't either. But as I do so well, I'm deflecting that to you.
Yep, well, that is a good segue, because the Dow took off like a rocket on Monday when it was announced that Pfizer had come up with a vaccine that had a 90%
effective rate.
Yeah, we'll call it effective. Yeah. That's much easier to say.
Effectivity
against COVID. Mm-hmm. This set off this sort of reversal trade.
Yeah, and that happened all since last Wednesday. All this good news and all the trials.
Yeah,
they all,
right?
Started Wednesday.
Crazy. Mm-hmm. Set off a kind of an unusual reversal trade where shares of things that have been down really down since February started taking off, and things that have been up, things that had traded higher because more people were using them during the pandemic, started falling. So
leading us to say diversify.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Always. But so we saw things like airlines, cruise ships, and energy companies actually soar on the news. Certain financials, American Express was up over 20%. It was just a really, really big day for some companies.
You can understand that, too. Things like credit card transactions are going to go crazy if we lift this whole thing and get everybody back out.
And Amex specifically, because they have a lot of clients that travel a lot, because they really cater to that specific type of client. So that was the reason that soared. Another one I was watching, Fiserv, they process transactions. That soared on Monday. So JetBlue, Delta, all the airlines, and Carnival Cruises was up pretty big as well. So things like that really took off. Well, everything that had been a big winner, Zoom, Amazon, Netflix.
All the stay-at-home stuff.
Right. All kind of took a breather and sold off a little bit. So that was a really interesting day because you saw the Dow at one point up about 1,300 points, and the NASDAQ, I believe, was even negative during the day. So it, really a split trade between those the winners and losers and reversing those two categories. The not just Pfizer, though. Moderna also appears close to getting a vaccine. They haven't released their effectiveness numbers, but they have a very similar process that they're developing or a very similar vaccine that they're developing. So the thought is that if Pfizer had good numbers, they probably will too. So it could be pretty soon that we start seeing these things ship out to first responders and maybe old folks' homes and places where it's really badly needed. It could be as little as weeks away at this point. Really, really interesting and encouraging news. The this couldn't have come at a better time as we're seeing COVID counts hitting new daily records almost every day right now. I think the latest was 160,000 new cases across the U.S. in one day. The previous record set a few days ago was 150,000, so really just skyrocketing, and most of that is, or a lot of it is coming from the Midwest. If you look at the geographical breakdown, the South hasn't been hit as hard. We got hit early. They're getting hit harder now, and it's interesting to see as people stop going outdoors, as it gets colder out, they're thinking that that is causing more spread in the colder climates, which is something they were worried about, and now it's coming to fruition. Hospitalizations have also been rising not as fast as cases, but the death rate hasn't been rising as fast as the cases or hospitalizations. So that's good news. I think that it shows that some of the treatments, it's also a lagging indicator, but also the treatments that we've developed are more effective than they were even as little as a couple of months ago. So it's that part is encouraging. Really, the vaccine is the most encouraging news we saw this week. Outside of Monday, though, the market was pretty choppy. It was up and down and up and down pretty much every other day. The end result was pretty good. The NASDAQ was down just slightly, losing just over 0.5%. The S&P was up 2.2%, and the Dow was up 4.1%. This is kind of the opposite of the trend we've seen all year, where the NASDAQ has been up so big. It's up 31.8% this year, and the Dow had been really, really trailing for year to date. And now this week, it's that's reversed. And also this month, the Dow is up the most at 11.4%. S&P up 9.6 and NASDAQ up 8.4, and we're only halfway through November. Yeah. Pretty crazy.
Quite a month so far.
The U.S. wasn't the only market to see some upside this week. European markets also rallied. Spain gained more than 12%, while the U.K. and France both gained more than 7%. In fact, the election was a bigger boost to international stocks than it was for U.S. stocks, and European stocks are now at the highest level that they've been in at 6 months, and it's not even really close. Pretty remarkable. Mexico also had a good week, gaining more than 6%, and Asian markets were a little more mixed, although Singapore managed a 5% gain, and Korea was up more than 4%. So we saw quite a few countries around the world do well this week.
Yeah, well, they should have, because it was announced by some of the incoming powers that might be that we have to distribute the vaccine equitably around the world.
Of course.
So
of course.
Without doing anything and without paying anything for it, we're going to be delivering a lot of those that could go to elderly people, let's say arbitrarily ages 70 and up. How's that? More after the break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I'm Megan Todd.
And we want to wrap up a little bit on the market wrap and then get into what Megan is here to do. But first, we have a trivia question, as usual, sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. Now, almost everybody knows that the Tax Act that was passed in December 2017 took effect in 2018, reduced corporate taxes a lot because that was thought to shall we say, be very stimulative for business. And, of course, over the years, you can say exactly that that was exactly correct. So this applies to something, since there's a discussion how high taxes might go next year. Between 2008 and 2017, how much did ExxonMobil pay in taxes per dollar of net earnings? Now, I want to give everybody a little bit of insight into what I'm asking here. ExxonMobil pays a lot of kinds of taxes. Yes, it pays foreign taxes. It pays domestic income taxes. It owns a lot of property. There'll be personal property taxes on that. And, of course, a biggie for every company is payroll taxes. So my question is, for every $1 in net earnings, how much did they pay in overall taxes? So is it 10 cents or is it $25 or is it 50 cents? I'll let you know if you're close. I'll let you know if you're within 2 cents, in fact, because you'll be the winner. All righty, insurance. What do you know?
I know that I have several.
Did you want to wrap up a couple things?
Yeah.
I said it and then I forgot it.
Yeah. I wonder where you're going with that.
Yeah.
A couple of things. The vaccine news had an effect on more than just the stock markets this week. Long-term interest rates actually moved dramatically higher on the news. That's really good news.
It is.
You might actually be able to buy a long-term note that pays more than 1%. That'd be great.
Boy, that'd be radical.
Yeah. And short-term rates moved modestly higher, but short-term rates are kind of anchored by the Fed strategy right now. So unless they change their policy, you probably won't see short-term rates moving too much in the near term anyway.
Thanks for a steep curve, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Earnings season also wrapping up. It's truly been one for the record books. Earnings have beat by a rate of more than 80%, the highest we've ever seen. And revenue beat rates are not quite as high. They're just under 74%. But compared to several recent quarters that were between 50 and 60%, that's a really good number. And the best part about the season has been forward guidance, which companies have been raising at a rate of more than 16% more than they've been lowering. Usually this number hovers around zero. So to see it 16% higher is a really strong number.
Yeah, now all of that goes away if we do another shutdown. But right now we're talking about conditions on the ground.
Yep, definitely. I don't know that we'll – I think that with the vaccine news and the fact that Trump is still in office until January, the odds of another shutdown are fairly slim, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and if you're listening to us over the internet from anywhere in New York, I hope you're only visiting. To the rest of you up there, I feel sorry for you. What can you say? All right. One more question for you, Adam. Where's this market headed?
Gosh, up and down. That's my guess.
I think the only safe thing to say, except I have no idea.
Well, I just think that there's a lot of good news and a lot of bad news out there right now. And I think that every day brings a new sentiment in the market. And we saw it this week. It was mm-hmm. up, down. I mean, I think it's going to be really hard to gain a ton of momentum in either direction until some of the bad news or some of the good news goes away.
So you wouldn't suggest anybody make any gigantic changes to their strategy?
I'm not right now. I'm in a wait-and-see mode.
You and me. Okay, just checking. Because you know, we really don't discuss this as much as people might think, and I do that on purpose because I kind of get – I would get a biased perspective if we huddled on this stuff before the show. I'm really more interested in what you actually think.
Yep, that's my opinion. I mean, I could be wrong. It might. I mean, if the vaccine if they roll it out quicker than we expect and it really works and the numbers start coming down, I think that would be a huge upside boost for the market. On the other hand, if it takes longer and there's any kind of problem with that, with the rollout or even with the vaccine itself, would cause a massive drop.
If you start hearing about some unusual maladies among the populations that have taken it, then.
Right.
All bets are off. So we'll see. All right, insurance.
Yes. So if you know me, I'm kind of the younger portion of this company.
Megan's a millennial.
Yeah. Please don't quote me. No.
Insult her on air.
Yeah, that's not great. So I'm turning 26 in January, so that means I have to get my own insurance.
That's right.
Unfortunately. And we don't do corporate insurance through the company. So I had been starting researching in preparation for open enrollment this November what insurances I wanted to do. And it was all based off of, you know, where I wanted to be seen, what I wanted included. Started back in August. If you get nothing else out of this information, do not Google anything. Because, you know, my generation is Google is your best friend, yeah. which you would think so. But as soon as you try to get any information, it doesn't allow. I went into it thinking, oh, I'll just put like my age, my overall health, and it'll spit out some generic information. No, they want your phone number. They want your email. Ooh. And I didn't think about it, and I put it in. I think it was two websites.
And the phone started ringing in how many seconds?
I don't think it was even 5 seconds. And I mean, still, it's been months, and I'm still getting at least three phone calls a day. And
I made that mistake about 10, 15 years ago, and I haven't made it since, thank goodness.
And, yeah, no, it was just awful, and I don't like my phone ringing off the hook, especially at work.
No.
And my emails were just, the spam folder is overrun at this point with health insurance quotes. So eventually
by the way, that would be no different on Bing or
any search engine.
Exactly.
You can go to back to Ask Jeeves if you want to.
But the problem is searching.
Exactly. So what I ended up doing is I just Googled, again, setting myself up, but insurance agents. My preconceived notion was, you know, insurance agents, kind of like real estate agents, you pay a percentage for their service. Not true. So ended up talking to this really nice guy, Jeffrey, and he ended up helping me throughout the process. And basically, he went through, quoted me what we knew for 2020, because 2021 numbers hadn't come out until like November 1st, right on the dot. And so he was showing me what my generic would be based on my pay, on where I wanted to go in terms of healthcare, what types of medication, testing that I wanted to at least have covered, and what I wanted my deductible and my max out of pocket to be. So he was very, very helpful, to the point that it ended up being what he quoted me was actually, I think it was about $100 cheaper or more expensive, and it ended up being about $100 cheaper when I ended up going to actually sign up for health insurance.
Really?
Yeah. So it,
with what provider?
Ended up going with Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Okay. Yeah, so, and it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, they're particularly good around here because they're more flexible with where you want to go get treatment than most companies are. I've been with them for decades.
Yeah, and that was part of it is picking. I ended up having to do some additional research because where I had been going for my doctor would have been much more expensive for just a basic plan for what they accepted. So I did some doctor shopping, and this is just a plan.
Not the illegal kind.
No.
Making sure.
Reading resumes. Okay.
So, Megan, did you look at any Obamacare exchange plans?
No.
Why not?
Principle.
Okay.
Based solely on principle. I did
get
deductions.
Your mother and father are smiling right now.
Yeah, that's true. No, it was when you put in your income, there's actually some tax deductions that you get based on your income bracket. Mm-hmm. So that's why I ended up with something cheaper. And shockingly enough, you put in your overall income, and then you can say that you contribute whatever to a Roth or a traditional IRA, and they will actually give you further deductions based on that contribution amount. It's not they'll lower your price.
It's surprising, but it does have some sensibility in it, because people who do that take better care of themselves.
Yeah.
Because you're planning to live longer.
That's
I think there's a very, very solid connection there.
Well, yeah, but you just wouldn't think any form of paid service would give you a break so that you could save later on.
Really? How does the agent get paid, by the way? He said
I didn't pay him anything. He is employed by not even any one specific insurance company, and they pay him to help them find clients, because he quoted me for Humira and United Healthcare and a few others as well. But
he's their marketing arm then?
I'm trying to remember what website it was through. But again, it was just a quick Google search and found an insurance agent right here in Jacksonville.
Good minute yet. Keep going.
That was really kind of it. I was just very surprised at all of the information I learned, and really just don't want anyone else putting in their information, and the phone calls are still coming in. I cannot stress that enough. It is ticking me off.
I've used those sites that promise to have people call you for quotes or give you quotes, and it turns out it's just a lead generation service for other agents around the. And then the one that they think they sign up for this, and then the three of them get emailed this lead, and then the first one to call you gets the business. So they try and do it right away. It's so annoying.
And I thought it would have been recordings. They were actual people.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
were real people.
Yeah, they've got to get their mitts in there. All right, we'll tie this up, and then I want to summarize our program from last week. Don't go anywhere. This is the Vanwee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanwee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanwee.
And I'm Adam Vanwee.
And I'm Megan Todd.
A quick review of the trivia question. For every dollar of net earnings in ExxonMobil from the years 2008 to 2017, how much did they pay in overall taxes? And at that juncture, we're going to hit the phones. Good morning. I assume it's Marshall.
Yeah.
My little screen here.
There first.
Yeah, the little screen here says Mars, and I know you're not
Mars.
From there. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I probably am a little bit from Mars.
Yeah, maybe.
How about
at heart, 28%?
Anyway.
How much?
How about 28 cents?
That's considerably low.
Oh.
Right. Yeah. Surprise, huh?
Listening, yeah, great. Listening to Megan's wonderful comments.
Yeah.
As with you, I'm on the other end of that spectrum, but this year was my wife's first looking at Medicare.
Yeah.
I think the most important thing anybody can do is find an agent they trust.
I think that is her overall conclusion, right, Megan?
That would be the basis, and don't give out your phone number and email just to get a quote.
Right.
Well, I mean, there are so many people locally who, through networking groups or whatever, you can find somebody, or through your financial planner, find somebody who really knows what they're doing. Because those that are trying to sell this Medicare Advantage, as I'm grasping, get paid a very aggressive commission because that's very profitable to those companies. But not everybody can represent Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Right.
And many people, if they represent any of those other companies, they can't represent Blue Cross Blue Shield.
That
so
makes
I just
sense
found
to
it
me.
Real interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up falling back on a comment that I had a long time ago from Stan the Annuity Man.
Yep.
If you want to cover a risk, pay an appropriate premium to cover the risk. Don't get into gimmicks.
Mm-hmm.
And
in other words,
the reason
why, buy the steak, not the sizzle.
Yeah. That's the reason why I realized just how valuable my Plan F was. And since it's no longer available, Kathy jumped into the Plan G.
Okay.
And with Blue Cross, we've got what I think fits us the best. So just thought I'd throw that out there, gentlemen.
Marshall, we always say on the show, you know how you have a good insurance policy. They don't sell it anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, yes, yes.
That's
fact,
good for annuities and lots of things.
My friend, he said, nope, you want to stay with that.
Yep.
Don't mess with it.
Ain't broke. Don't fix it.
Yep.
Yep. Cool.
Y'all take care.
Thanks, Marshall.
Thanks, Marshall.
One. George.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
What's up?
About 6 months ago, I went to cash in one of my accounts. And I'm wondering, do you think now is a good time to get back in? And if so, what sectors would be good?
Huh. I passed that one.
That is a tough question, George. So I could make an argument for getting back in or against it, and I would probably feel equal passion about both, which is not much. Because right now there's a number of things that indicate the market is going higher, but there's also a number of things that would indicate that it is not. So if you do, I would do it slowly. I would dollar cost average back in. I don't think that picking sectors right now is – I think it's very difficult because the rotation that we've seen this week alone, the rotation was so severe. If you picked incorrectly, you could really get hurt. Tech is really high valuation wise right now, but there's still an argument to be made to buy it. And if you look at things that have been beat up that came up this week, energy, cruise lines, travel type stocks, they're still pretty low even with the bounce. But if this lockdown comes, they're going to get hit again. So it's just a really difficult time. There's so many unknowns. I would stick with the easy investments, broad market indexes, SPY, SPTM, total market fund, and dollar cost average back in. And that way that minimizes your chances of really getting burned.
What percentage and how frequently?
What's that?
Well, if you're dollar cost averaging back in, what percentage and how frequently the purchases?
I would look at, depends how much money we're talking about too, but if you...
it was a couple of hundred thousand.
Okay, so it's a decent amount of money.
Yeah.
I would look at doing $25,000 buy-ins over, spread out over a few months at least. The market is... I feel really uncertain about it right now, and that's probably coming through as I speak about it.
That makes it makes available a change in direction. If you're only 25,000 in, or 50,000, or 75,000, and all of a sudden something changes and the world looks rosy, yeah, dump a bunch more in.
Yeah, absolutely.
On the other hand, if it starts to go south, then
the only trouble
stop.
It looks rosy occasionally.
It does.
Recently.
Yeah,
it really does.
And that's why I'm so uncertain about it. And sometimes things look rosy and the market goes the other direction. So I just, until we see what this vaccine does, how it's available, how widely it's available, how much it curbs the growth rate of the virus, it's really hard to make a prediction about what's going to happen next
plus
year.
Plus, we still have the fight going on at the presidential level, too. So until that gets adjudicated one way or
and
the other.
And the Senate.
The Senate also.
Yeah.
There's a lot of uncertainty out there.
Yeah, the Senate even more so than the presidency, I think, could affect things.
Well, yeah, it depends if both go one way, if both go the other way, or if it's split. We're okay under some of those scenarios, but not necessarily on the other one. So I would say if you want to get back in, I'd first wait till Monday morning and see what the mood of the market is. And if you're going to get in, I wouldn't do more than 25 grand, and then start watching for a while. And I wouldn't make any major moves until after the election on January 5th, because that's where the Senate will be decided.
This is market timing is hard.
It
no
is.
Matter no matter what, and it's not something we love to do anyway. But when you're faced with a situation about getting back in after you've gotten out, you kind of have to plan out a market timing strategy. So the best thing you can do is come up with a safe plan. Not safe, but something that is reasonable. You're not throwing it all in on one day. I mean, unless you see a huge crash, then you might be a little bit safer doing that. But make a plan and then stick with it, and try not to get scared out of doing it just because the market goes down. Don't stop buying. You know, maybe even accelerate your plan if it goes down.
I agree.
One other question.
Sure.
I've got quite a bit of Pfizer stock.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And I wonder why it hasn't jumped more than it has with them coming up with the solutions to the virus.
Well, I'll ask a second question. I love to answer questions with questions. Why do you suppose the CEO of Pfizer would sell 5 million personal shares of stock before he made that announcement?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
That's food for thought, isn't it?
Yeah, sure is.
So.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Had he waited until after the announcement, they would have thrown him in jail for insider trading.
Yeah,
but
true.
Why did he sell instead of hold? That's what I want to
that
know.
That is really interesting. I hadn't looked at Pfizer stock, but it's been almost flat for 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And it's well off its peak.
You can't really say that this vaccine was built into the price of Pfizer.
No.
I know.
No, I don't see that. I don't have a good answer for that.
If anybody knows anything about this, let me know. But it's confusing to me as well. And when I saw that the CEO had sold 5 million shares, and then he made this great announcement that ought to be worth a fortune to the company, I'm just flabbergasted.
Yeah, that's very questionable for sure.
It tells me one thing and one thing only. Stay out of Pfizer stock for now until you get an answer for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm already in.
Yeah.
I mean,
the good news is it hasn't hurt you. It just hasn't really benefited you very much either.
That's right. All right. Well, we appreciate the call. And let us know if you do something one way or the other, or even if you get some information about it, because we'd certainly be interested.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, George. All right, after this break, I want to run a little summary. Those of you who are loyal, regular listeners know that we had Stan the Annuity Man on the show talking about annuities last week, and there's some basically bullet points that are takeaways from that show that are very, very important. And it is difficult for someone like me to summarize into a very few words a complex subject such as annuities, but there are some things that if you remember, you'll at least know when to go out and shop around for some information on who to call. All right, don't go anywhere. We pay some bills. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Come back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I'm Megan Todd.
And this segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. You can call Troy at 662-9794. That, of course, is right here in the 904. And as they say around the Van Wee household, let Troy do it, which I find to be an excellent piece of advice.
My family says so, too.
Oh, yeah, that's true. 2 out of 3. Yeah, we must know something. The trivia question, how many cents does ExxonMobil pay for every dollar of taxes between 2008 and 2017? And that includes all kinds of taxes. The guess we've had so far is 28 cents, and it is very low. Good morning, Victoria.
Good morning. I have a quick question for you guys. Go ahead. Okay, yeah, so I found a accelerated savings account. I've got some money that I want to get some more out of, you know, and investing has always kind of terrified me just because of, like, the losses, and I have absolutely no idea where to start or how much money would be necessary to really benefit me. But I just got this Accelerate Savings account. I'm not really sure if I should, like, look into something different, if investing is a good option, or what other.
You there?
We got the gist of the question. So I'm not sure what an accelerated savings account is. Maybe it's a high-yield savings account.
Probably.
And savings accounts are something entirely different than investing. It is, savings accounts are especially in this low rate environment, they yield small returns, less than 1% typically, and they really should be used. They're used for safety and for making a very, very meager return. But the good thing is they don't go down in value, whereas investing has a chance of going down in value, which is what gives it the chance to go up in value at a rate higher than 0.5% a year. So it depends what you want to do with the money. If you're saving for a down payment for a house, don't put the money in the market. Just use that savings account. Take your meager return for the trade-off of knowing that the value of that account is not going to go down, and the money will be there on the day you need it. Now, if you're thinking about saving for retirement, you sound somewhat young. So if that's the case, then you really need to start looking at investing, which is entirely different. And that's where we could help you with that. But the easy thing to do there is to get an account at one of the names that you recognize, like Schwab or TD Ameritrade, which are now the same, Fidelity, Vanguard, and any of the big names. Open up a brokerage account or an IRA if you have earned income that you can contribute to it, and then just do something simple like get into a S&P 500 fund like SPY. It's the most popular, biggest ETF in the world.
Cheap to own.
Yep, cheap to own, and it has a great track record. It trades hundreds of millions of shares a day. It's massive. So it's very liquid and easy to get in and out of, and that is the way to get started. We just did a blog series about it on our website, vanweefinancial.com. It's a five-part series about how do I start investing. Take a look at that. It'll sort of give you a step-by-step guide of how to do it.
vanweefinancial.com. Scroll down to the blog section. You will see the most recent one on there is part five. So just scroll down a little further and start with step one. It's simple, it's informative, and it's very direct. Do this. Do this.
Yeah, but thanks for the call. I'm sorry we lost you. I don't know what happened there.
What happened here?
Just to ask, because she did sound kind of like my age, mm-hmm. You mentioned an IRA. What type of IRA is going to be better for someone younger, or is it more based on tax bracket?
Yeah, it's not really based on age as much as it is on tax bracket. Mm-hmm. So a traditional IRA can benefit a younger person or an older person, as can a Roth. But the real difference is how much money you make and what you're paying on that marginal the next dollar that you make. So if you're in a 12% tax bracket, you're going to want to probably stick with a Roth because it'll benefit you more in the long term after you've paid that 12% to put the 88 cents into the Roth and then grow it tax-free forever, versus if you're in the 32% tax bracket and you want that tax savings today, then you're going to want to look at a traditional IRA.
Okay, good.
And if you want to discuss this more thoroughly, just give us a call at the office next week,
905-655-1555.
You can tell it's speed dial number two. Just hit speed dial number two. You'll get Adam.
The number is on our website, yeah. You can always look it up.
685-1505. My bad. Sorry. Anyway, thanks for the call. I'm sorry we did lose it. Oh, wait. We have one more. I bet I know. Good morning, Leroy.
Good morning, boys. How you doing?
Good. What are you thinking today?
I don't try to think. Not this last week.
Probably a good strategy.
Probably is.
Yeah. I just figured I'd take a shot at your number. That was going to go with 48.3.
You're way low.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, remember, it's all kinds of taxes accumulated. But that's the reason I'm asking. My subliminal rhetorical question is, do we really need a corporate tax increase? I think not. Thank you.
Probably not.
Yeah, well, keep listening. You'll know by the end of the program.
Okay, well, Mr. Bales would probably be happy today. They're saving a little bit of money.
That's right. Yeah, everybody's looking to cut some costs nowadays.
Okay, you guys have a good day.
Thanks, Leroy.
Actually, being in the sort of tied to the construction industry, he's having a heck of a year because everyone's building new houses and hiring him to put in their alarm system.
Oh, that's true, putting in the alarm systems. Yeah. Strange, huh? Good morning, Larry.
Good guess, gentlemen.
Yes.
70%.
Way light.
Way high?
No, too low.
Way.
Too low?
Too low.
Way too low.
Lord, excuse me.
See, that's my point. Yep. Trivia with a point. That's my motto.
Gee, they might as well shut down. Only thing I know now is the ticker symbol. XOM.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Our pleasure. Thanks.
I just wanted to take a second and remind everyone that it wasn't that long ago, and it was actually during the time that we're talking about when some of the, I think it was Hillary Clinton, wanted to implement a windfall profits tax on these same companies for making too much money.
Yep.
So,
and you don't remember the funny part of that one? She said she wants to take those profits, and the one company she used.
Was it Solyndra or something like that? What was it?
It was the one that they were giving so much grief at the time, the oil company that moved to Dubai. It was a Dubai company by the time she said they were going to take the profits.
Mm, okay.
I can't remember the name of it. I should. I used to play a game with my sister that she didn't know about. It was how many words do I have to say before she came back?
Halliburton,
thank you. Before she said the word Halliburton, I always won. Anyway, that was what Hillary said. I want to take those profits from Halliburton. And they were not a domestic entity. And well, last week, Stan the Annuity Man was on, and a couple of takeaways from that show. There are more annuities in the world than there are annuities that were actually needed by a great deal. Or as we say, annuities are sold more than they are bought. So the first thing you do if anybody pitches you an annuity is you recoil and learn more. Otherwise, no. Annuities are not investments. Stan was very clear about that. They are problem solvers. When you have the problem that says, I don't have enough lifetime income, the answer might well lie in an annuity. But most people have varying amounts of needs, and you can't be too, you can be specific about the problem, but you can't say, well, yes, you're probably going to, or you're not.
Victoria,
you're back.
Hey, yeah, I'm sorry. I lost you.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the input.
No problem. Do you want to take a shot at our trivia? We're about out of time.
Yeah, I was thinking, I have no idea. 120?
120?
Yeah.
All right. Ding, ding, ding. We have a winner.
Wait, not really?
Yeah. $1.20. $1.22 plus or minus 2 cents.
You got it.
Beautiful.
So just hang on the line, yeah, and we'll get your information.
Thanks, Victoria. Isn't that amazing? Now, yeah. I don't have to give the answer. Anyway, Stan did also point out that there's something called a MIGA multi-year guaranteed annuity that you can get 3, 4, 5 years of interest rates that you can't touch anywhere else. And I'll deal with a couple of the other topics again next week. Just remember this. If you want to know anything about an annuity, don't buy it first. Go to StanTheAnnuityMadden.com after you talk to us. We'll tell you if it's even worth you doing the research on it. All right. Darn, this goes fast, doesn't it? Especially with some phone calls. Everybody have a wonderful weekend, and thanks for listening. We will see you next week. Thanks especially to Megan for helping us out, and we'll see you next week. This is the Banway Financial Hour.